ध्यायामो धवलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरसङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् नित्यं निरन्तरानन्दं चिद्घनं ब्रह्मनिर्भयं श्रुत्या तर्कानुभूतिभ्याम् अहमस्मि अद्वयं सदा। सो वी सॉ गुरु वंदनम एज वेल एज द पर्पस ऑफ द दिस पर्टिकुलर वर्क ऑफ अद्वैत मकरंद इन द प्रीवियस श्लोका। सो रिमूवल ऑफ moham, removal of delusion and thereby experiencing bliss, that is the goal of this entire work. And how can that be experienced or in a way achieved? So figuratively speaking, achieved, really speaking, realized or realizing that state, that blissful state, how can that be done? So that can be done like only through one way. So many people ask Amma, as to Amma, is there a shortcut? Is there a shortcut to moksha? So going by the current situation of the world, people always look for shortcut. So if you have to do something, like if you have to get something done, you'll just try to find out a shortcut. So in the normal situations in office, like if you want something to be done immediately, will just escalate it. It's kind of easy, and people, like, if you do it normally, it might take 2 days. You escalate it, it will be done in 1 day. That 1 day saving soon or faster or quicker, as well as less effort involved. So that is what people want in current day. People want to become like or achieve success in a quick way. So if there are two paths in front of a person, where one is a normal way which will take many years, and the other is a shortcut like which will not take that many years, then most of the people will choose the shortcut. Unfortunately, for such people, or people who go behind shortcuts, people who go behind easier, less effortful path or ways, there is no two way for moksha. Similarly, there is no shortcut as well. It is like just one way. It's a direct way. There is no indirect way. There is no cutting through some steps and then directly jumping on. So long back, there used to be the concept of double promotion in schools. Bright students would get double promoted. So a few of my cousins, they have got double promoted once or twice. So very peak, they are peak in intelligence. So if you are peak, you'll get double promoted. So like skipping steps, that is not possible. That is not there in Vedanta. We have to go through the one way. And what is that one way? Oh, how can you say it is one way? Like people speak about it as bhakti, jnanam, karma, yoga. Many paths are prescribed. The shastras only speak about one and only one way. Tameva vidvan amrita iha bhavati nanyapanta vidyate ayanaya tameva viditva atimrityumeti nanyapanta vimuktaye. So if a person, like, there is no other way, knowledge of one entity, that one entity which can give us eternal bliss, that is the sole way. There is no different way. Oh, why does it have to be one entity? Why can't it be many entities? It cannot be many entities because there is only one. This many that we speak about has come from one. Nanatvam has come from ఏకం ఏకం సద్ విప్రా బహుధా వదంతి. వన్ ట్రూత్ ఈస్ బీయింగ్ స్పోకన్ అబౌట్ వేరియస్లీ బై మెనీ పీపుల్. మెనీ రిలీజియన్స్ కాల్ ఇట్ ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ వేస్. మెనీ శాస్త్రాస్ ఆర్ దర్శనా స్పీక్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ వేస్. భాగవతం స్పీక్స్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ యాజ్ విష్ణు ఆర్ భగవాన్. పురాణా స్పీక్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ యాజ్ విష్ణు. సమ్ పురాణా స్పీక్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ యాజ్ శివ. శాక్తా స్పీక్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ యాజ్ దేవి. వేదాంత స్పీక్స్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ యాజ్ బ్రహ్మన్. కృష్ణ స్పీక్స్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ యాజ్ మై సెల్ఫ్ ఆర్ ఈశ్వర. సో లైక్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇట్ మే బి స్పోకన్ అబౌట్ వేరియస్లీ బట్ ద ట్రూత్ ఈస్ వన్ ఎలోన్. వదంతి తత్వవిదః తత్వం యజ్ఞానం అద్వయం బ్రహ్మేతి పరమాత్మేతి భగవాన్ ఇది శబ్ద్యతే. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ వన్ ట్రూత్. వదంతి తత్ తత్వవిదః తత్వవిదః తద్ వదంతి. నోవర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ట్రూత్ స్పీక్ అబౌట్ దట్ ట్రూత్. యజ్ఞానం అద్వయం అద్వయం జ్ఞానం. జ్ఞానం దట్ విచ్ ఈస్ కాన్షియస్. Conscious means pulsating. It is not an insentient entity. It is not like an insentient rock. It is not like an insentient dust. It is sentient. It is pulsating. It is living, we can say, going by what science says, it is living. Of course, then like we'll have to say that even rocks are living. So we don't want to enter that line. So pulsating. Pulsating means, what is pulsation? Pulsation means that which experiences itself. Swayam Prakasham is another word that the Shastras speak about it. Swayam Jyoti, Swayam Prakasham. So this Atma is like a, this one entity like that we speak about, or Ishvara, or Brahman, or Atma, that is pulsating. It experiences itself. It experiences other things which may exist or which may seem to exist. And it is Advayam, there is no duality in there. And we already know, like we don't have to speak, like analyze as to why duality is not there. It's quite simple why duality is not there. Like if we talk about like two powerful people, can they stay in the same place? Definitely no. Elections are done. Why? Two powerful people are there. Can they don the same role? Can Obama and McCain both be commander-in-chief? No, it's not possible. Only one. Two people cannot. So if there are, suppose that there are two such jnanam present, what will happen? There is conflict between both. Both will kill each other. And can they kill each other? Definitely no. And going by simple logic, if two are there which possess the same qualities, which are the same, can there be such two? No. That is what science says, or like even our normal logic. If two things are there which are same, then there is like similarity is different from same. Similarity means there is dissimilarity as well. So when we say, oh, this, he is similar to that guy. So we say, like, we speak about similarities with respect to bodily features, physical, or like we speak about eyes, we speak about hair or character, few things, but some things are dissimilar automatically. So same, if there are two things which are same, A equal to 10, B equal to 10, then is there A and B separate? No, A equal to B, there is only one. There are other logic like which we will deal, like when we come to the particular shloka of Advaita Makaranda, but for now there cannot be two such entities. So shastras, this is logical approach. So anything that has to be proven through shruti, yukti and anubhavam. Scriptural quotations, yukti, logic and anubhavam. So another simple yukti that Balakrishna says is that duality is not there at all. We cannot speak about two such entities because of anvaya vyatireka yukti. So if this one entity, one consciousness is there, all other consciousness, all other insentient entities, everything is there. Remove this one consciousness, everything will vanish. But can we remove consciousness? Just now you said you cannot remove consciousness. Logic, while we are applying logic, we have to assume something is going to happen, then we come to conclusions. So Google, when like a Google map is kind of so common or popular now, and with iPhones, like each and every person, you look around, everybody has iPhone. So like it has become more popular because of the iPhone. So Google Map assumes certain things and says, okay, if you go this particular route at this particular speed, then you will reach the destination in 10 minutes. Maybe traffic, like something, some accident happens in the traffic. Because of the traffic, it's not 10 minutes, it's half an hour. That means like Google doesn't know exactly that this is going to happen. Like it is just an assumption. So assumptions are required, imagination is required. Therefore, consciousness, if we just think about removing consciousness, everything like dual, all other consciousness, everything will vanish. And dream, like in dream, in the dream state, like if we analyze the three states of Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, it becomes clear that Jnanam or consciousness is one alone. Why? Simple. In dream, we see, we experience one conscious principle, I, the I in us. It's not the I that dreams, it is the ego that dreams. So we will see that later in one of the shloka. Lakshmidhara speaking, saying that, or proving that this I consciousness, or conscious I, is different from the ego I. It is not the ego, the ego is like limited, the ego is always a failure. So it is when a person tries to suppress the ego, at least to an extent, that is when success comes to a person. So like, have the ego at all times, then it will be a total failure. So consciousness, so the consciousness, the conscious principle, it illumines everything, like it creates everything, an entire world. So in one, ekatvam, like in one entity, ekam, nanatvam, duality is seen in dream. I can't still accept it. Okay, then in Sushupti, you are sleeping, you go to sleep, everything vanishes, but still you exist. And when you get up, like you remember that you only were there, there was nothing else, and then you were blissful. So that means in Sushupti, like when objects don't exist, still consciousness, jnanam, is there. This jnanam is a like very generic word, but used in some shastras, but it is called as chit. To avoid the confusion of worldly knowledge or intellectual knowledge as well. So chit is one alone. So if chit is there, the entire world is there. If chit is not there, the entire world will not be there. If the entire world is not there, still chit exists. So this clearly proves that chit is non-dual, and such non-dual chit is the basis of the entire world. Whatever world we see is based on this one chit and the shastra. So this is yukti. So going by shastras, what does the shastra say? Janma adhyasya yataha yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayanti abhisamvishanti prad vidijnyasasvatad brahmeti. So from whom this world has come, in whom this world resides, on to whom the world merges at the time of destruction, that is Brahman. So that from which like this world has come, in which like this world exists, onto which the world merges, has to be same as that entity, cannot be any different at all. So that means the world or duality is just an illusion in the non-dual entity of Brahman. So Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti Shabdyate. So again, sorry, Yukti, Shruti, Anubhavam of Sushupti Avastha or Jagrat Swapna Sushupti proves that consciousness or Ishwarat, the Sachan Chit, is just one Advayam, it alone exists. And Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti Shabdyate, and it is called as Brahman Paramatman Bhagavan. In some other cases, Atma, Aham, in some other cases, like we can also say Vishnu, Shiva, Devi, etc. All those are just one entity alone. Chitihi tat pada lakshyartha chidekar asarupini. Chitihi, with consciousness in nature, that is Devi. Tatpada lakshyartha, that which is denoted by the term of tat. Tatpada min tattvamasi, that is Brahman. Chideka rasarupini, one whose rasam, essence is what? Chit, pure chit alone, that is Devi. So all those like mean the same thing. And it is this one entity, because it is chit, because it is the basis of the entire world, therefore it is unlimited, or it is infinite. And that which is infinite, unlimited, that which alone exists, which is real, that alone can be blissful. Yo vai bhuma tat sukam na alpe sukam asti. That which is bhuma, bhuma means that which is infinite, purnam. That which is purnam, that alone can be blissful. There is no bliss in limited entities. So that means this one entity which pervades the entire world by being the essence of the world, by being the source of the world, by being the reality behind the world, that has to be blissful. And all efforts, like the effort like that a person puts in the world or in spiritual life, all that is to get this one bliss or blissful entities, in a way, like realize this blissful entity or get bliss. So remove bliss, things will lose their, like we will lose the passion. So that's why many people say, like, I don't like working in office. Why don't you like working in office? It doesn't give me bliss. Oh, what about when a person like kills or like himself commits suicide because of his lover? That is because if his lover is happy, he will be happy, and therefore he commits suicide. So committing suicide itself is for one's happiness. I'm sorry. And that is why Yajnavalkya says that, says to Maitreyi that the husband is loved for the sake of the self, not for the sake of the husband. So all love, all like activities are based on the notion that a person gets bliss out of it. Unfortunately, bliss is not in the external world. So bliss is not part of the external world, part of the dual world, part of the changing world. Anityam asukam lokam. The changing world cannot give us anandam, whereas imam prapya bhajasva mam. So having attained this changing and sorrowful world, changing therefore sorrowful world, seek this one blissful entity of Ishvara. So that is the, like the goal of life, the goal of all scriptural work is to realize Brahman. We are also called as moksha. What it means is, in simple words, realizing or finding out one blissful entity, abiding in that one blissful entity, being blissful at all times. So that means, as Amma says, this bliss or happy state is also a kind of resolution, the resolution to say that I will be happy whatever happens. So that's why, like, even when the Durvasa, the great saint Durvasa, set a Damanas to kill Ambariksha, Ambariksha was able to remain blissful. Even when Mahabali knew that Vamana has come to take everything away from him, he was blissful. He was ready to give up everything. For what? For bliss. So there it shows, the story shows that if a person is able to get rid of everything, including one's ego, symbolically represented by or through Vamana placing his leg on Mahabali's head, that is killing of the ego. So when a person renounces or gets rid of everything, then will come eternal bliss. So renouncing everything, like here we should not literally take it. Renouncing everything doesn't mean externally renouncing. There are many people in the world who are sannyasis. I have personally met like people who are in the sannyasa margam, but boasting like about such sannyasa margam. There was a person, like a yellow robe person of Chinmaya mission. So he once argued with my father, saying that like after attending a Vedanta course, he started boasting about it, that like we are great, like we have done this, a lot of sadhana, we have done 2 years of discipline, like this is great, you are not great. So that such level of boasting is also there. So there sannyasam is really to renounce everything, but here there is no renunciation at all. So that is why Krishna says that nyeyasya nitya sannyasi yona dveshtina shochati nirdvandvo hi mahabaho sukam bandhat pramuchyate. So know him to be an eternal renunciate who doesn't have ragam dvesham, who doesn't have dvandva bhavam. So how can a person not have dvandva bhavam? Externally doing all activities by remembering internally that there is only one entity here, one blissful entity. So this entire world, yachya kinchit jagat sarvam drishyate shruyate piva antar bahishyatat sarvam vyapyan narayana sthitah. So Ishvara, Narayana pervades, like is there inside and outside of all entities that are there in the world. So a person who remembers this, externally he just does actions like he has to do, internally he knows that there is no duality, therefore there is no dvandva bhavam. That is true renunciation, that is letting go of that is letting go of everything and focusing on one Ishvara. So now the question, like though we have already discussed as to how to realize or attain bliss by focusing on that one entity, how can you do that? Internally contemplating that everything is that one entity alone. But then like the important question comes up. Okay, whatever you are saying is fine, but how will I really get benefited by focusing on that one entity pervading the entire world? How will I get? How can I get, like, and even if it, let's say I get it, I get bliss out of contemplation of Brahman, but anything like Shankara gives the logic of whatever is attained will be lost. Whatever is attained definitely will be lost. Alexander attained power, attained control of the entire world, and he had to lose it. So everything will be lost. So in that case, such it becomes non-eternal. So such non-eternal happiness cannot be called bliss, and I don't want such bliss. So how can you without any doubt say that this one blissful entity and focus on that entity as pervading the entire world can give me bliss? Ultimately, ultimately what matters is me experiencing the bliss. And of course we know that this work is a logical work that kind of proves that attaining or realizing that one entity, one blissful entity, will give me bliss. But is what the Shastras say, if you contemplate on Brahman, you will get bliss. And why is it that way? Because you are Brahman. Tattvamasi Shvetaketo. Satma Tattvamasi Shvetaketo. O Shvetaketo, that Atman, you are. You are that Atman. That is what the Shastras say. So that means you are that Atman. Since you are that one blissful entity, therefore attaining is permanent. Attaining is always permanent. It will stay. And then what does Vedanta accomplish? Vedanta accomplishes removal of the notion that I am not Brahman. Somehow, from somewhere, as Amma says, like, it cannot be explained as to from where this ignorance has come, because ignorance is not real. It's not real, but it has come into existence and we think it is real. So get rid of it. There is no point of analyzing as to from where the water in the desert came from. There is no water in the first place, so how can it come? So if you see water, negate it. That is enough. No point in analyzing as to how the water came in desert. Similarly here, we don't know how it came, but the notion or like a person's experience that I'm not blissful, that is ignorance. Remove it through the notion that I am that one blissful Brahman. I am that one Brahman who alone exists in the entire world. So when a sadhaka does this, he goes behind or beyond ragadvesham. So maybe ragadvesham is still demonstrated by the ego. The ego still does actions, but there is no ragadvesham. Either ragadvesham is there for the ego, and a sadhaka remains a witness to the ragadvesham, or ragadvesham itself is not there. So activities happen like normally. So we are traveling in a bus, and like somebody is sitting next to us. It is a long journey, 1.5 hours. So we talk to the person. Like we ask questions, like we discuss subject matters, something or the other in the world. And when the time comes to get out of the bus, we don't like regret getting away from the person. So for 1 hour, like we are with the person, we are related to the person, and then like we are able to come out of it. And unfortunately, the more dhyayato vishyan pumsaha sangasteshu upajayate. So the more we meet up with a person, we get attached. That attachment is what is the cause of problem. So for a sadhaka, he knows that this entire world is one Brahman. Therefore, that attachment doesn't happen. So like whenever he interacts with somebody, he like that moment, he lives in that moment. So this is also called as living in the moment. So living in the moment, in one moment like he is interacting, and the next moment he is totally out of it. So that is also called Sakshi Bhavam in some ways, or like we can also call it as the state of realization, where a person interacts with the world but he is not developing any ragam or dvesham. He might seem to be developing raga dvesham, but it is like an actor portraying his role. Internally, he is not at all affected by whatever emotion he is displaying in the film. So internally he is not, but externally he shows brilliantly. He shows in such a way that people get deluded that he is really doing it. So M.N. Nambiar is a famous villain in Tamil, like old Tamil movies. So his like portrayal was so perfect that people used to hate him. People used to hate him a lot because he was a villain. The same can be said to be said of Amjad Khan as well. People used to think that these people are villains. So that is their talent. Internally, they are not at all affected at all. So anyway, coming back. So it is possible to experience bliss by realizing that one blissful entity, because our very nature is that bliss. So that is the subject matter of this work, is that as to how to get that bliss. How can we get that bliss? By contemplating on that one entity. How can we contemplate on that one entity? By knowing that that entity alone is present here. And what has that got to do with me? I am that entity. So that is what in the second shloka, Lakshmidhara gives a logic to prove that I am that one blissful entity. So as we saw earlier, A equals 10, B equals 10, therefore A equals B. So we talk about two friends are there, like two friends, they work at the same place. So they are talking like, oh, do you know, like last weekend, like I went to a party and I saw a guy. Oh, I also saw a guy. Oh, his name was A. Oh, that the guy's name was also A. The guy I met also had name as A. Oh, the guy I saw was 6 feet tall. Oh, the same here. Oh, he had short hair and he was a blonde guy. Oh, the same here. His eyes were kind of green. Oh, the same here. Like, tell me, like, what is his number? Oh, this is his number. This is where he lives. Exactly the same. Oh, what does that mean? Finally, the conclusion comes. Oh, the A you met and the A I met both are one and the same. So, when it has to be proven that I am Brahman, the way to do that is take the qualities of both A and B. If all the qualities match, are the same, then A equals B. And of course, for Brahman, Brahman is like Manuvacha Maghochara. So how can you have qualities for Brahman? We cannot express in words. Yes, qualities cannot be expressed of Brahman, but Swarupam can be said, like nature of Brahman can be said. And of course, there is also the way of negatively speaking about the nature. I don't want to get distracted into that. But nature is different from quality. So quality is like something which might change, which might vanish. So the quality of like blonde. So a blonde today might be a brunette tomorrow. Of course, there are ways to change the color, hair color. Oh, that guy has a lot of white hair. White haired guy. Tomorrow, dye and then it becomes a black haired guy. Today, 6 feet tall. Tomorrow, 6 feet, 2 inches. Today, lean. Tomorrow, fat. And day after tomorrow, again lean. So you cannot quality, the quality of weight, the quality of height, the quality of hair complexion, the quality of skin complexion, all those can change, all those will change. Therefore, those are qualities. Qualities change. Characteristics also might change. Swarupam or nature never changes. So, character is nature. Isn't that what you mean? No, character is part of the ego. Character can change. So, building character. There is a huge market for building character. In current day, where people want to build a character, so people attend courses to build a character, and then people write books about how to build a character. So all those are there. So character is to do with the ego. The ego also changes. So nature is something which never changes. So fire, the nature of fire is burning. Fire burns things. Fire glows. So that cannot be changed. Sun means throwing its rays, giving light to objects. Can that change? No, it can never change. Of course, burning of fire can also be considered a power, but that power is part of fire. Therefore, it is always there. It is the nature of fire. Similarly, nature of A and B is what we have to compare here. So here A is Brahman or Ishvara, B is me. So if both have the same nature, why go for nature? As we said, Brahman doesn't have any quality. Brahman is anaditva nirgunatva paramatmayam avyayah sharirastopi kaunteya nakaroti nalipyate. In the 13th chapter of Gita, Krishna says anaditva nirgunatva. Ishvara Paramatmayam Avyayaha. This Paramatma is Avyayam, immutable. Why is he immutable? Because anadi, he doesn't have a beginning. If he doesn't have a beginning, he doesn't have an end. If he doesn't have a beginning and end, then obviously he doesn't have gunam or quality. That which has gunam is subject to change. Height is a gunam, so that is subject to change. So in this case, like it is nirgunam. Shweta Shvetara Upanishad also speaks about Ishvara or Brahman as nirgunam. So nirgunam is as per the Shastra. So Brahman is nirgunam, but nirgunam means we can speak about the nature of Brahman. So what is the nature of Brahman? Satchidananda Rupaya. Satchidanandam is said to be the nature of Brahman. In some cases, Anandam. Anandam is based on infinite state, Bhuma, Yovai Bhuma, whatever we said. So Anandam, bliss means infinite. So in some cases, like in Taittiriya Upanishad, we say Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. It's not Anandam, Anantam. Satyam Jnanam, Sat, Chit, Anantam, infinite. Anandam is also the same, it's not different. So Sat, Chit and Anandam. So let's see like as to how Brahman has all these, like these three nature, or we can say characteristics. Characteristics or lakshanas are fine. Lakshanas can be nature, lakshanas can also be gunas. So lakshanas, what is lakshana? Lakshana generally means a defining characteristics. A characteristics like are trying to speak about something in such a way that other things are ruled out. So we speak about like somebody, like we say, oh, he sings well. He sings very well. So like he sings well means like everybody can sing well. So we have to give a particular characteristics or something which rules out other. So he is a sannyasi. His name is Amrita Swarupananda. He sings very well with devotion. So all these characteristics are tough to find in other people. And of course, if we say Amrita Swarupananda, then that rules out a lot of sannyasis. And if, let's say, if sannyasis are there with the same name, then who is the disciple of Amma? Who is the first sannyasi disciple of Amma? Definitely ruled out other things. So lakshanas can be swarupam, nature as well, by removing other things. And we already saw that chit is one alone. So we saw chit can only be one. So if we can prove that Brahman is chit, which we already did, I'll do it again, once again, since like we are dealing with that, and it's good to do it again and again. So if we can prove that chit is Brahman's nature and this chit is advayam, then that means there cannot be two chit. And then if we can prove that my nature is also chit, definitely A equals B, or I am Brahman. So Sat. So Brahman is something which is real. Real means it is always existing. It does exist at all times. So we see from the Shastra that Brahman does exist at all times. Brahman is existence. The existence is the nature of Brahman. So Brahman means existence. So existence is always there. So therefore, such a Brahman, like his Brahman's nature is existence, always exists. So always exists. How can you say something exists? So we can say something exists if there is some light falling on it. So we can't say that a pot is there in the house if there is no light. So light is essential. Oh no, I can touch and see. Such is also a sort of light. The light of, like in a way, touch is also a jnana indriyam. Jnanam, or light, what we speak about is jnanam. So being able to apprehend or perceive objects. Perception can be through touch as well. So light has to fall. So if Brahman has to be eternal, then that means light has to be part of Brahman. And that light is called chit. And that light is also that which makes Brahman always experience itself. So if I have, like if Brahman has to exist at all times, it has to experience its own existence, and that is what is called as light. Light means experiencing. So this experiencing cannot, experiencing Sat experiencing Brahman cannot be different or apart from Brahman, because we already saw that Brahman is eternal, everything else is non-eternal. So that means it has to be part of Brahman. And even if we assume that Brahman is eternal, the world is also eternal, still we can't assume, like we can't like take it for granted, or we can't prove that a chit which is different from Brahman will always illuminate. There'll be times like when people fall apart, you know, or like something happens and there is a break. So therefore, in order for Brahman to be Sat, Chit, or experiencing itself, throwing light on itself, has to be part of Brahman. So Chit also has to be the nature of Brahman. So we'll see like this analysis of, a very beautiful analysis of Sat, each of these, like Sat, Chit and Anandam, done by Lakshmidhara in a later part of this work. But for now, so if Brahman is Sat, Brahman has to be Chit as well. So Chit is also called Sphuranam or Sphurti, the experience I exist, which is the light on existence or one's own existence itself. So that's why Ramana Maharshi says, Sattva Bhasika Chitkva Vetara Sattaya Hi Chit Chittaya Hi Aham. Sat cannot be illumined without Chit, therefore Sat and Chit are both the same. And in the previous shloka, Ramana Maharshi proves that I am Sat, therefore I am Chit as well. So Ramana Maharshi takes a few leaves out of Advaita Makaranda. So we'll see later like that some shlokas and some things like are very similar whatever Ramana Maharshi says. But anyway, for now, Sat and Chit are the nature of Brahman. Nature means always there. So if Sat and Chit are there, that which exists always, that which illumines its own existence, that means it is infinite. Infinite means how can you say it is infinite? Infinite is, in other words, unlimited. Unlimited means it is always there. That which is always there is always infinite. Finite, what do we call as finite? Finite means that which will vanish, that which will change, that which will get destroyed. That is what is called as finite, that is what is called as limited. Whereas Brahman is always there, that means all like infinite, which means blissful. So Anandam is also the nature of Brahman. Anandam and Anandam also we cannot add if we want, but Anandam is enough. Anantam like will lead to some other confusion when trying to prove that I am Brahman, therefore Anantam is not generally used. Anandam is enough. So I am blissful. So that which, sorry, not I am blissful. Brahman is blissful. That which is Sat and Chit is always there. That which always there will definitely, like, happiness is part of each and every object in the world. But the object itself is limited, therefore happiness is also limited. With respect to Brahman, it is eternal. So happiness also will be eternal, which means it is Anandam in nature. So it is, like, we have proved that Brahman's nature is Sachidanandam. So what about my nature? My nature. What is my nature? Aham asmi. I exist. Do we ever feel that I don't exist? Even like when we say I am going to die, that is also an experience. Of course, Advaita Makaranda, like later in a later shloka, Lakshmidhara will give a logic like for this. So like if there is any logic for Vedanta, required for Vedanta, or present in Vedanta, Advaita Makaranda is one place to look for those logic. So Advaita Makaranda will give at a later point of time. But death is also an experience. I am dying. I died. How can you say I died, like if I am not experiencing death? So that means it is there. So aham asmi, I always exist. Like even like people say like I will die. Do we remember like as to like experience of death? Do we remember the experience of birth? No. Which means that, which proves that I always exist. I am ever there. So that means aham asmi, my nature is Sat. Sadabhami. Always bhami. Bhami means light. I am always the light. So that means I always experience my own existence. Yes, if I always exist, I always experience my existence as well. It is not like I am existing and then somebody else is coming and telling to me, you exist. I agree, you exist. Oh, you, oh, that guy, like, oh, you exist. Nobody has to say that. We experience ourselves. So that means ahamasmi, I exist. Sadabhami, I always shine. Shine means like I always experience my own existence. Sphuranam. So sphuranam means like existence and achit. Both come there. So sphuranam is also always there. Oh, what about anandam? Kadachit na aham apriyaha. Aham, I. Kadachit never. Apriyaha. Kadachit at all times. Kadachit means at any time. In a way, at any time, apriyaha, not like na, not. So I am like apriyaha. Priya means unliked or disliked. Na, never. Kadachit at any time. So that means I am never disliked at any time. So this is where we should remember. People committing suicide, it is for their happiness. So nobody hates themselves. Everybody loves themselves at all times. So that means there is no time. Like even when we are dejected with life, we are dejected with life, not dejected with ourselves. We are dejected with life. So whenever somebody says, like, I am dejected with myself. Are you really dejected with yourself? Yes, I am. Why are you dejected with yourself? Because I am not blissful. Because I love myself. Because I like myself. Can we get dejected over like somebody on the road? No. We get dejected over people whom we like. So I get dejected with myself means I like myself. Which means I am never disliked. Which means I am ever liked. So liking, like whenever liking or bliss, another way to put bliss or happiness is like when something is dearly liked, that is, and so dearly liked, that means there is no difference between ourselves and the object of liking. That is where bliss is, bliss gets created. So the concept like that, I think like we will discuss it later, that when we experience an object and we get happiness out of that object, that is when like we merge onto the object, or temporarily the difference merges. And when difference merges, like that is when it becomes bliss. So like I am never disliked. So if I am not disliked at any time, then I am liked at all times. So such liking, like which is there always, or which is also part of myself, that is what is called as bliss. So bliss is also part of me, which means I am blissful. So liking is bliss. If we look at objects, like liking is happiness. Whatever we like, we'll get happiness out of it. Whatever we don't like, we'll get sorrow out of it. So what we like, happiness. And in this case, always liking, so always we like something, we'll get bliss. The difference is, always can we like a worldly object? If we can, then we will get bliss. And a person who likes the world at all times is a jnani. Because only a jnani can like the world always, because the world is something changing. The world is something which will vanish. So if a person has to like the world always, there's only one way, because the world itself doesn't always exist. So if a person has to like the world always, he has to like the substratum of the world which always exists. Which means he likes Brahman as pervading the world, therefore he likes everything. So that means, here it means that such a person alone can get bliss. So I am never disliked, which means I am blissful. So in that case, atoham na katam brahma. Atoham, ataha, therefore, aham brahma katam na. How aham brahma na? How I am not Brahman? Katam, how? How I am not Brahman? Aham Brahman, I am not Brahman. How? How can I not be Brahman? Sachidananda lakshanam. Of the nature of Sachidanandam. So like my nature, like Brahman is Sachidanandam in nature. Like we already proved it And the Shastras also say, and I, Ahamasmi, I am Sat, Sadabhami, I am Chit, Kadachit Naham Apriya, I am always like, which means I am blissful. I am a source of bliss at all times. Therefore, how can I not be Brahman? So it's a question which is answered by the questioner himself that definitely I am Brahman. So in some cases, like we can, like some places of the, in some shastras, we can find such a usage where a question is raised as to how is this not possible. So there is no answer required for the question. The answer itself means it's not possible, which means it is possible at all times. So how can it be not possible? Means it is possible. So how can I not be Brahman? Here it means I am Brahman. So if like we want, like there is an anumanam used, inference used, that I am Brahman. So there's a statement there, I am Brahman, which is also called pratijna. Statement, aham brahma asmi, I am Brahman, aham brahma. Why? Sachidananda lakshanatvat, or sachidanandatvat, or sachidananda rupatvat. Reason hetu is because I am sachidanandam in lakshanam. And example is brahmavat, like Brahman. So I am Brahman. Why? Because my nature is sachidanandam, like Brahman. So Brahman's nature is sachidanandam, my nature is sachidanandam, therefore I am Brahman. So that is what the author proves here. And this is the basis, like we can say in a way, this is the basis of the entire work, that I am Brahman. Of course, here a logic has been given, but many doubts can arise with respect to this, and that will be answered in the next shlokas. But for now, if we cannot remember anumanam and all, it is okay. Like nobody, like all those logical concepts and all is tough. Tough to remember, tough to understand. We don't have to go through all those. This is simple logic. Anumanam, why do you need anumanam and all? Hey, I am Brahm, like I Sachidanandam, my nature is Sachidanandam, Brahman's nature is Sachidanandam. Simple logic, as Balakrishnan says, even a child will deduct from this or infer from this, what? I am Brahman. A child can like conclude there that I am Brahman. You don't need a degree in Advaita Siddhi or a degree in Tarka Sangraha to, or a degree in Nyaya Shastram to understand this. It is very simple. So what this like ultimately means is that I am blissful Brahman. What Brahman? Like that the author will deal later, but we already saw it. That Brahman who pervades the entire world. That Brahman who is Advitiyam. That Brahman who alone exists here. I am that. So internally, if we are able to remember that I am blissful, I am that blissful Brahman who alone exists here, then all search, all yearning for happiness in the external world will stop. Because I am blissful. If I am blissful, why should I seek happiness outside? I have already cooked food. If I have already cooked food and which is good food, then why would I want to eat outside? I won't go outside. I'll be inside the house itself. So like, I am blissful means a person will get bliss. And externally, it is fine to do whatever activities we are doing. Actions, external actions don't really matter. You can do actions like a worldly person does. Sakta karmanya vidvanso yata kurvanti bharata. Kuryad vidvansas tatha saktah chikirshur loka sangraham. So, even as an avidvan, an ajnani does action by getting attached to objects, ragadvesham, because of bheda chinta or dvandva bhavam, he thinks duality exists. Similarly, a jnani does actions without getting attached, and thereby like he gets immense bliss out of it. So external activities don't really matter. Internally, I am Brahman. Brahman alone exists. This world is just an illusion. It is just a play. Nama rupam. It's just mithya. So whatever happens here is fine. Whatever happens externally, I am going to be blissful. I am going to be happy. Why? Because I am Brahman, and because Brahman alone exists here. And this, like, the more and more a person does, like, a mananam of this, a lot of logical analysis and then nididhyasanam, contemplation, that I am Brahman, contemplating on all pervasive Brahman who is one, my own nature, a person will get more and more blissful. And that blissful state, the state where a person is always blissful, is the state of moksha. And that is what we are seeking in the external world as well as in the spiritual path. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to experience ourselves, intuitive experience, a parokshanubhavam of this Ananda Swarupam, of this Ananda Brahman, Brahman who is Anandam and who is our own nature. Like soon in this birth itself, rather than wasting one more birth. Oh, is there any, like you often say, in this birth, is there any birth? Yeah, there definitely there is no birth. But the question itself means that Brahman hasn't been realized. If Brahman is not realized, birth is there. Birth is there, then we have to say that there is birth. So there is no kutarka. The kutarkas will not be helpful. Kutarkas cannot stand against true logic. So birth, if a person thinks birth is there, if a person feels that I am not, like, oh, what is this guy saying, birth and all, I think I am not the body, then why should I worry about it? Very good. Don't worry about it. Just ignore that part. For people who think like they have birth and they haven't realized Brahman yet, then such statements, such wordings of in this birth itself will in a way accelerate the process of realizing oneself, and that is required. So may Amma bless us. We'll continue in the next day. Namaskar.